ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवद गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट नंबर 20 एंड 21 Chapter entitled Attaining the Supreme. Parastasmatu bhavunyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanah yahasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashayatsyanu na vinashyati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Yet, there is another unmanifest nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. Purport. Krishna's superior spiritual energy is transcendental and eternal. It is beyond all changes of material nature, which is manifest and annihilated during the days and nights of Brahma. Krishna's superior energy is completely opposite in quality to material nature. Superior and inferior nature are explained in the 7th chapter. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Hare Krishna. So today we'll be reading from Chapter 8, verse numbers 20 and 21. Verse number 20, which we just read out now. In this particular chapter that we are now doing, it is entitled Attaining the Supreme. Actually, Bhagavad Gita can be divided into three sections. Section 1, chapter 1 to 6. Section 2, chapter 7 to 12. And section 3, from 13 to 18. So, in the second section in which we are now, 8th chapter, chapter 7 to 12, in this Krishna presents knowledge of Himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead to inspire and strengthen bhakti. Only faith can take you to Krishna, but it is not blind or baseless faith. The proper use of reason or intelligence is to repose faith in the right object or person and not get cheated by imposters or charlatans. So in these chapters, Krishna is giving information about His potencies, activities, characteristics, abode, and also explaining why the living entity should aspire to attain the Supreme. Thus, Krishna helps us to direct our life and activities properly so as not to waste this precious human life. He is the energy and energetic both, and thus the supreme object of worship. In this particular verse, in the earlier verses, Krishna speaks about the material manifestation, its duration and annihilation. It's very interesting to note the exact figures have been given. 311 trillion 40 billion earth years is Brahma's lifespan of 100 years. Don't ask me how many zeros are there in it. The material creation extends over such a period and the cycle is repeated again. Besides, this material nature is the spiritual or higher nature of Krishna. It is only the material nature which is subject to destruction and annihilation. It is a place where constantly there is danger. Padam padam yadam vipadam. Danger at every step. This is the characteristics of this material world. Once it so happened, Prabhupada was giving a lecture and he said, if you do not take to Krishna consciousness in this lifetime seriously, then there is the danger that you may slip into animal life or lower species of life in your next birth. So one person, he just stood up and he said, what is wrong? I'll be happy to be a dog, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, then you have my blessings to be a dog. But what is a dog's life? Let us try to understand. If you have seen animals, how they eat, especially the common sight is you see a crow. When some food is kept outside the window, when the crow comes to eat that particular food, rice or whatever is kept for the crow, you see how it approaches the food. It will not directly come. It will go first and sit on one windowsill. Then from there it will take a look around. It will jump to the next window. It will sit on the frame of that window. Again it will look around. Again it will jump down. It will come near, have a peck, again fly back. Again repeat the process. And just to take one peck of that rice which has been served, just take, see how much caution it has to take. It will not directly come and eat. But how do human beings eat? You have a dining table or you sit on the floor in a very respectable way. Very comfortably somebody serves and somebody has the food with great relish. There is no such fear. So animals are always in fear of being attacked. This is one essential feature of the animal existence. Of course, there is also danger in human life. So that is why it is said, in this material world, there is danger at every step. You see how the cow eats. Cow is constantly subject to being attacked by other flesh-eating animals like lion, tiger, jackals, etc. So whenever there is green pasture, the cow will go there. It immediately takes up the green grass, but it actually does not eat it over there. All that it does is, it takes it inside. It has got a special bag. And then it brings it out when it is at leisure. It will go and sit comfortably under a tree somewhere where it is more at relaxed and in an ease position. And then that is called as rumination. It brings it out, then again it chews it thoroughly and then takes it inside. So animals, we can see very clearly, they exhibit it, that this world is clearly a place of danger. And actually, it is really so. If you see a rat which is coming out of its hole, do you think it is very comfortable when it is in broad daylight or in sight of other living entities? Not at all. It is scampering back to its hole as fast as possible after taking up the morsel of food that it wants. And just see, on the other hand, how devotees, they take prasad in an orderly, systematic, disciplined way, hearing and chanting Krishna Katha and glorifying the Lord. That is not eating. That is known as honoring prasad. There is an interesting story to differentiate the demonic nature and the divine nature. Once, the demons went and accused Vishnu and they went and told him, you are always partial to the devtas and you are impartial to the demons. You don't favor the demons. So Vishnu said, that is not true. I am equal to both. Krishna has declared in the Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu Name Dveshi Astina Priyaha. Ye Tumam Bhajantya Bhaktya Mayi Te Tesham Chapyaham. So he says, I am not inimical to anybody, and neither am I a friend to anybody. I am neutral to all. That is his supreme nature. So he said, if you feel that I am being partial, then I will give you a demonstration that it is not I am being partial. It is actually you are yourself responsible for the kind of reaction you attract. So he said, okay, we will arrange a feast for both, for the demons and for the devatas. So two separate rooms were arranged. Food was arranged properly in one central table. Sumptuous, very delicious, very tasty, nice prasad in both the rooms. And they were invited to their respective rooms, one for the demons and one for the devatas. There was only one condition though, that you are not supposed to fold your elbows. Elbows must not be folded. It must be straight like this. And then you are allowed to eat the food. Food was placed on the table and you have to eat, but you cannot fold. That was the only condition. So, okay, then both were allowed to go in and they said, eat as much as you want. There will be refills. The minute the bowl is over, we will refill it again. Eat to your heart's content. So what was the scene in the room of the demons? In the room of the demons, it was observed that all the demons, they crowded around the table and Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, Shri Gopal, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki, Shri La Prabhupada Ki. So they were crowding around the table, but they were at a loss. How to eat it now? You cannot fold the elbow. So they put their hands behind their back, they put their heads down, and with their mouth, they made a dash for the food. Obviously, needless to say, it was chaos. It was fully messed up. Each one was pushing the other one from the bowl. Each one was trying to dip his face into the bowl, trying to lick it and snatch the food with his teeth and eating just like animals. You know how dogs eat? That was the way in which these demons were trying to eat the food. But the condition was there. You cannot fold your elbows. So then the scene shifts to the room of the devatas. So when you go into the room of the devatas, what do you find? The devatas were very orderly standing opposite to each other. The condition was you're not supposed to fold your elbow. So your hands will be straight. So obviously you cannot feed yourself. So what they did was, they stood on opposite sides of that bowl and each one took one piece and fed the one opposite to him. So what happened? They were thoroughly satisfied. He was feeding him, have more, come on, take more, one more rasgulla, one more gulab jamun. This way they were feeding each other to their heart's content. They were relishing the food. Not one drop was spilt. There was no damage. Their faces were clean and they were eating in a very dignified way. Now Vishnu said, why do you blame me? See the difference in your own behavior. Obviously, what is very striking, the demonic behavior and the divine behavior. You can see it for yourself. So, Krishna informs that if you want to live a dignified life, happy life, then rise above this short-lived material world where everything is temporary. That is the shortcoming of this material world in which we are now living. Nothing is permanent here and there is danger at every step. How can you be happy in such a situation? How can you be comfortable? How can you be relaxed? How can you be peaceful? Ashantasya kutho sukham. And one who is not peaceful, how can he be happy? So it is very clear. Therefore, Krishna, he is telling, please forsake this material world and try to rise above this. In the 15th verse of the same chapter, which we are now doing, today we are on the 20th verse, it is explained, Ma mupetya punar janma dukkhalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmanah samsiddhim paramam gatim. So here it is clearly certified by Krishna that this world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Dukkhalayam means a place full of miseries. You say devalai, a place where the devatas reside. Then you have bhojanalai, where food is served. Similarly, dukkhalai, a place which is full of miseries. Krishna himself is certifying. The creator himself has said that this is dukkhalai. So what is the use of trying to search for happiness in this place? It is not there. It is simply not there. You are looking for something which is not there. You are not going to be successful in doing that. Therefore, he is inviting us. He is telling us, please come from there, come to my abode, where I will take nice care of you. You can be really happy over there. But which is that place? That is the spiritual world. Actually, in this creation, there are two aspects of this creation. One is the material creation. That is what has been described in the verses so far. And now, Krishna is going on to describe the spiritual world. Just as on this earth, when we have done our high school science, geography, we all know the earth is made up of 1/4 of land and 3/4 of water. All of us know it from our school textbooks. Similarly, when you take the creation as a whole, 1/4 of the creation is material creation and 3/4 of the creation is spiritual creation. That is known as Tripada Vibhuti. Tripada means three times. So if one part is material creation, three times of that one, Tripada, is Vibhuti or the creation, the spiritual creation. So that is how the ratio stands. So even from ratio point of view, if you see, it is natural that one should go to the spiritual world, greater space. This material creation's limit itself is unknown to us. We are part of this material creation. We are inside this material universe, material world. But how vast is it? Actually, if you just go out and look into the sky, as far as the eye can see, you can see stars. And we are told on a day when the sight is very clear, there are no clouds, it is not hazy, it's very clear sight. What do you see? In the far distant, you see something like what is known as the Milky Way, a cloud-like mass which is bright but which is very, very dim and very, very dull. And what is this Milky Way supposed to be? It is actually nothing but a mass of galaxies. So many suns and so many stars are over there. Limitless, countless. Even if you use the Hubble telescope, still people are not able to see the end of this material creation. So, this material creation itself, according to our own ability to understand and know it, is limitless. So, what to speak of the spiritual creation? It is not subject to experimental verification. That is what we have to understand. Therefore, the only way to relate to it is simply to accept with faith and submission and humility what the Lord is personally telling us out of His own mercy. But how to know that whatever Bhagavad Gita is speaking is the truth? There is one acid test to know that what Bhagavad Gita is speaking is the truth. Krishna has just certified that it is Dukkhalayam, place of misery. If you look into your own lives and see all around you, this is enough to prove it. No man can ever say, I am perfectly happy. In every man's life, there is enough problems and miseries. In fact, there was an interesting article in the Reader's Digest. They have these small anecdotes. So there, it was mentioned that everybody says, actually, you know how much of misery I am suffering in life. It is nothing compared to what you are suffering. This is the general way in which people talk to each other. But it is said that if all the people come to sit down, and together they decide to take up their individual share of miseries and put it on the table. and then divide it equally. And then each one gets an equal share. And then if they examine what is that share, each one is simply happy to take his own original share. They don't want this. So Lord's arrangement is perfect. When we try to think otherwise, then we are defeated. What he does is engineered to perfection. According to us, when things happen, we call it accident. When something goes out of control or beyond our expectation, we call it as accident. But that is not so according to the Lord's plan. According to the Lord's plan, everything that's happening is engineered to perfection. There was a car in which six people were traveling, and there was one small infant child. The car met with an accident. It somersaulted and skidded down on the side. Ultimately, they all emerged out of the car. What was the net position? Only that infant died. All others were safe. Nothing happened to them. But unfortunately, that small little infant child, it had to die. There was no. So this is how the Lord can operate. If you may think that, well, it's an accident is involved, all are there in the car, all of them will suffer injuries, they will have some broken bones, or most of them might have died. But if the Lord wants, he can do things exactly. So if he wants that only this one person's life has to end now, only that will happen. That is his perfection. Actually, Krishna explains these two natures. One is material nature, and the other is the spiritual nature. In the seventh chapter itself, the earlier chapter, verses number 4 and 5, they deal with this very nicely. Bhumi rapo anulo vayu kam mano buddhir ahankaram iti yamme bhinnada prakritir ashtada. In this seventh chapter, verse number 4, he explains this. How this material creation is made up of? It is made up of five elements. Bhumi means earth, apo means water, analo means fire, vayu means air, kam means space or ether. And three subtle elements, which is mano, buddhi, ahankaram, iti yammi. That means mind, intelligence and ego. So these are 5 and 3, 8. Bhinnada, prakritir, ashtada. He says these are my separated energies of 8 kinds. Just like the milk is the separated energy of the cow, the material energy is the separated energy of the Lord. And then he goes on to describe, besides this, there is a superior energy. Apareyam itastva anyam vidhime prakritim param. Param means superior. Jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam dharayate jagat. That is the next verse, that is 7.5. So here he explains, apareyam, that means beyond this material creation is another superior energy of mine, and that is the spiritual energy. So living entity is part and parcel of that spiritual energy. And Krishna's energy can actually be divided into three parts, three kinds. Antaranga or internal potency, which is Krishna's pure spiritual energy. Bahiranga or the external potency, which is the material energy. And Tatastha, that is the marginal potency, which is in between the two, which is the living spirit souls. Marginal means, Tatastha means, tat par khada hai. It is on the bank, not inside, not outside, on the border. So the tendency is, if you are on the bank, you can be easily washed into the current. So this is the position of the living entity. The living entity is insignificant, very minute, very tiny. It is given in the Bhagavad Gita, what is the size of the spirit soul? 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. Balagrasya shatabhagasya shatada kalpitasya cha. 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, that is the size of the soul. So this is the tatastha shakti, or the living marginal energy of the Lord. Now, the nature of this living marginal energy is, until and unless it takes shelter of the internal or the spiritual energy, it will be completely swallowed by the external material energy. It cannot stand independently. It's so insignificant. It has to be either on this side or on that side. It cannot be in between the two. It has no locus standi there. So it has to be either under the shelter of the supreme spiritual potency, or under the or helplessly tormented by the material energy. That is the situation. But the spiritual energy is by nature indestructible. This is a special feature. It is diametrically opposite to the material energy. And the material energy, we have just heard the descriptions. What is the duration and all these things. But ultimately, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna. Maam Upetitu Kaunteya Punarjanmana Vidyate. It is very clearly given. Even if you go to the topmost rung of this material creation, even there you are subject to death. You cannot escape death over there. Annihilation is part of the scheme of material creation. No part of the material creation is independent of destruction and annihilation. So naturally, when we are inside this, is it surprising that we face chaos, disturbance, damage? It's not surprising. It has been designed to be like that. It is functioning as per the design. Again, there are two shlokas which nicely bring out the differences between the spiritual and the, now we are talking about the spiritual energy. We spoke about the material energy. And the qualities of the spiritual energy or the spiritual potency or spirit soul, spiritual nature. The qualities of the spiritual nature are highlighted by two verses. If you take verse 24 of the second chapter, there it is describing the soul. It's explained. Achedyo yam adahyo yam akledyo ashoshya evacha nitya sarvagata sthanur achaloyam sanatanah. This is the description of the nature of the soul. What does it mention? Achedyo yam. The nature of the soul is it cannot be cleaved by any weapons. Adahyoyam cannot be burnt by fire. Akledyo cannot be moistened by water or cannot be dried by the wind. In short, it is imperceptible to the material elements. This is the nature of the spiritual soul. And then its special features are given. Nitya. Nitya means all pervading. Sarvagata. All pervading. Nitya means eternal. Sthanu, unchanging. Achaloyam, immovable. And again Sanatana stands for eternal. So that means it has no destruction. It is eternal. It is immovable. In Hindi we say chal. Chal means go. Achal means don't go. Remain in one place. Achal. So it does not move from its place. It is always stationary. Stationary means steady. Unchanging, sthanu. Material nature always undergoes change. It is the nature of material potency or material, it is always in a state of flux. It seems there are six kinds of changes. Comes into being, grows, remains for some time, issues byproducts, then it begins to dwindle, and then ultimately it is destroyed. This is the cycle of anything that is material. In contrast, anything that is spiritual is unchangeable, immovable, and always it's all pervading. Means it is transcendental. That means space and time do not apply to spirit. It is beyond the limits of space and time. They don't apply to spirit. That is the beauty. And again, when Arjun, after having darshan of the Lord, after the Lord reveals his Virat Roop and he shows him the universal form, then Arjun comes to his senses. He understands who is Krishna in reality. He was always relating to Krishna as a friend. So at that time, how he addresses Krishna? Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adidevam Ajam Vibhum. So he says that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the Supreme Abode. You are pure. You are the Absolute Truth. You are that original person. You are eternal. You are transcendental. you are unborn and you are the greatest. These are the words he's using. So that is God, the Supreme Spirit, and this is the qualification of the living entity, the insignificant spirit soul. The nature of the two is identical because the spirit soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Spirit, Krishna. We have to understand that why Krishna is calling the spirit souls to the spiritual kingdom. We have one very popular line in English which says, "Go east, go west, home is the best." We have all heard this. And it is a fact. One may have a very simple accommodation anywhere, maybe in the city, maybe in the village, maybe in the town. It may be opulent or it may be simple. But when this person moves out of his place, even if you give him the best of travel facilities and you lodge him in the best of five-star accommodation, he may go to a place like Japan, which is in the east. He may go to a place like Europe, which is in the west. But where do you think this person is going to feel absolutely relaxed? When he's back home. So that is why we have this. Now, if you take a fish out of the water, do you think the fish is going to be comfortable? It is not in its true elements. It cannot be comfortable. If you put the fish back in the water, it is comfortable. If a man jumps into the water, do you think he is very safe there or secure there? Not at all. Not until he comes back to shore. So until and unless a person is in his elements, he is not comfortable, not at home. The spirit soul actually belongs to the spiritual kingdom. How can it be happy and comfortable in the material world? That is a simple understanding. It is like pulling a fish out of the water. So long as the spirit soul is dwelling in this material creation, it may be in any species of life, but it is not in its natural element. And therefore, Krishna, out of his kindness, out of his mercy, out of his compassion, is calling the spirit souls back. He's telling, come back, come to me. Maam upetya tu kaunteya punarjanman vidyate. He says, having once come to me, you need not go back. Yad gatvana nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. Again he's telling, having gone to that spiritual kingdom abode, you need not come back again back into this material world. How do we understand this statement when Krishna is telling this? Take a very simple example in our own lives. This is the year 2009 and now we are all sitting here. So if we say same day next year, we all hope to be back in our villages, how many of you will agree with that? Where will you be more happy? Here in the city of Mumbai, where you have your livelihood, where you have your family, or you will be like to be back in your village next year? If you ask a school child who is studying in standard 7th, that next year, will you go and attend standard 8th in your village? What will that child say? No. I want to be back in the same school. I want to be in my here with my friends. So just as this simple little example is there, those who have come to the city don't want to go back to the village. Why? Because life in city is more comfortable. Amenities are much better here and facilities are much greater here. So you don't want to go back to a place where there is a lot of hardship involved, even for the daily routine things. Similarly, those who find a comfortable and nice job in a place like USA, very few of them, they resign and they come back to live back to India. Those of them who go there, they find them and land themselves in a nice job. They, after some time, give up the idea of coming back and they like to settle down over there. So this is the nature. When facilities and amenities are better, people like to settle in such a place. So Krishna, from that point of view, is also calling the individual souls. He says, come to the place of my kingdom, the spiritual abode, which is the supreme abode, and you will be really happy there. Why do you have to suffer in this material world? Prabhupada has his trusted representative. in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has given us the simple process of Harinam Sankirtan. Again, in verse, chapter 15, verse number 6, Krishna gives further detailed description of his abode. There he says, Na tat bhasayate suryo, na shashanko, na pavakaha, yad gatvana nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. So he says, how is his abode? Natat bhasayate suryo. He says, there is no sun there is no moon there are no electric lamps there is no fire there. In short, there is no source of illumination, no source of light. You know why? Is it very dark over there? No. Everything there is self-effulgent. There is no need for external source of light. That is the nature of the spiritual kingdom. Like in this room, if this sofa is going to emanate light, if this stand is going to give out light, if these clips are going to be self-effulgent and self-luminous, where is the need for external lighting then? There is no need. That is what Krishna is telling. He says, that is the nature of my abode. Light also stands for knowledge. And darkness also stands for ignorance. In short, the material world is a place of ignorance where there is need for knowledge and education and there is need for light. Spiritual world is a place where all the living entities are in perfect knowledge. And therefore, their behavior is also perfect and they are completely in bliss and happiness. They don't have to work very hard for their daily requirements and needs. Like we get up in the morning, we have to go to our offices, children have to go to their schools, and they have to work so hard. At the end of the month, they get their salary or their wages, and then they find it again difficult to manage it within the budget. So much of struggle. Then there are diseases, then there is miseries, seasonal problems, so many things. Now you have the swine flu, another kind of epidemic is sweeping all over. So many kinds of anxieties that people are having to go through. There is no such thing. There is no birth. There is no old age. There is no disease. There is no death in the spiritual kingdom. It is a place where people are perfectly happy. Actually, verse number 21, there Krishna gives more description about his abode. He says, Avyaktokshara ityuktas tam ahu paramam gatim yam prapyanani vartante taddhama paramam mama. That, the translation is, that which the Vedantists describe as unmanifest and infallible, that which is known as the supreme destination, that place from which, being having attained it, one never returns, that is my supreme abode. Actually, in the Brahma Samhita, very detailed description is given of the nature of Krishna's abode, the spiritual kingdom. Chintamani prakrasat prakarasat mashukalpa vriksha lakshavriteshu surabhi rabipalayantam lakshmi sahasrashatasam bravasevyamanam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So it here is, the description is given that how is it chintamani prakara. Chintamani means touch stones. It is made up of such precious jewels and gems. They are wish-fulfilling stones. You touch and whatever your wish is, is immediately granted. You don't have to actually work for it. You may find this a little intriguing. What kind of situation could that be? How is it possible ever? We can take a simple example. Here, if somebody has to go from here to the airport but has no money, only solution for him is to walk it up. He has no money. He can't afford train, bus, taxi or any mode of transport. If there is any way to walk, he has to only walk. In any way to go, he has to only walk it up. How much time, how much effort, how much energy is required for it? But if there is a wealthy person and he decides to go from here to the airport, he can take a car, go so fast, or if there is a facility, take an helicopter and directly hop over to the airport so fast. So according to one's capacity of what facilities one can command, things become so easy for a person. Just one has to wish and it will happen if you have the resources. Spiritual kingdom is a place where all resources are at the disposal of every person. So therefore, if you just wish something, it happens there. Chintamani prakara sadmashu kalpa vriksha. Kalpa vriksha means wish fulfilling trees. Here we have seen so many trees. A mango tree will give you a mango fruit and a lemon tree will give you a lemon fruit. But you cannot get lemon from a mango tree and you cannot get mango from a lemon tree. But in kalpa vriksha, that is wish fulfilling trees, you stand under the tree and whatever you desire is fulfilled. Surabhi. Surabhi means cow that gives endless supply of milk. You don't have to go and feed the cow and take care of the cow. It just goes on giving you milk as much as you want. This is the nature of the spiritual kingdom. When you hear all this, automatically if you say how many people want to go to the spiritual kingdom, everybody will raise their hand up. Yes, 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 I want to go there. No work, no tension, no anxiety, just enjoy. That is why people are giving a false picture in this material world. Coca-Cola, enjoy. MTV, enjoy. Actually, there is no joy. It is just suffering. It is, they call it the real thing, which is just the opposite of what it is. It is an illusion that is being projected as the real thing. That is how advertisements work here. They have to tell these things because it is not actually so. So Krishna is advertising his own spiritual kingdom and he's telling us how it is. And he's attracting us and he's inviting us. He's giving us information and his true representative, Prabhupada, and he himself acting as a devotee is showing us the process by which we can go to that supreme abode, the spiritual kingdom. And that process, especially for this age of Kali, is the simple process of performing Harinam Sankirtan. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. No rockets, no spaceship. Just use your tongue and lip. Chant Krishna's holy naam, reach Krishna's holy dham. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Thank you. So are there any questions? Or I think now we can go in for kirtan before the darshan starts. Hare Krishna.